Thank you, Brian. Brian led us all in prayer for our sister church in Anyev, and I'm pleased to announce that we completed our goal and reached the amount of money that we wanted to for this coming year, so thank you. If perhaps you brought money for that offering today and you intended to do that, feel free to do that. All the money will get to the right place. That'll all be used, but we've made it. Praise the Lord. Just a reminder, that will provide a salary for Sasha throughout this whole coming year, and it'll be just a pleasure to know that for him to know that he's got that sort of security. Nobody's working, so it's impossible for the church to support him as they usually would. So this is a great thing that God has allowed us to participate in. Hey, we've got a couple of celebrities here this morning, and we don't usually acknowledge that, but I want to acknowledge Gil and Jamie Kimmons. Would you guys stand up, please? Thank you. Gil and Jamie are our partners in places of Nebraska where you don't want to go. The boys and I were out deer hunting this last fall, and we were driving all over the most barren places of Nebraska. And we came over this hill, and I said, "Hey, guys, we're not too far from where Gil and Jamie are." And they went, "You've got to be kidding." It is out there, but they run Christian Camp, and we're delighted to be their partners in that. Please take the opportunity that they're here today to chat with them a little bit. All right, let's look into God's Word. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. And I always encourage you to turn there if you would. We'll put the verses up on the screen. But anything we can do to just keep cultivating that habit of looking into God's Word ourselves is valuable. So open up your Bible app or find the Bible in the chair in front of you. And let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Brian, it's really no wonder that the worship center here is fairly full this morning, because people got the email and noted that the sermon title was "Attending Church Makes No Sense." So that would be the one. That would be the one where people would come out and want to be here in person. Attending church makes no sense, so we're just going to fellowship a little bit and then we'll make our ways to the exits. No, you guessed, of course, that I am a huge fan of the church, and I love to gather together. But when people say that it's hard to attend church, you know what? I'm sympathetic. I absolutely get it. I know that it is. For many of us, it was the pandemic that forced the question. You know, you get in a rut, you get into a routine in life, and you can go with that for a long time, especially if it's reinforced and it's a value that's held by your social circles. Wow, you can stay in that routine for a long time. But we all got disrupted when for a short time we weren't able to get together at all. And that forced the question, I think, why do I leave the house on Sunday morning? Why do I get up and go anywhere on Sunday morning? And it's more poignant now than it has ever been. I don't need to listen to the house band. Sorry, guys. I don't need to listen to the house band do Lauren Daigle. I can listen to Lauren Daigle, right? And you know what? While we're talking about it, I don't have to sit through another Friesen sermon. I can listen to, well, just about anybody, right? It's all available to us now without ever leaving home. And I get it. I absolutely get it. I've peeked inside your head, and I know what you're thinking. I could watch the service on any device I own except for my toaster. Right? We have our houses stocked with appliances that connect with the internet these days. Anything but my toaster will call up that service. I could go to church while I vacuum. Imagine being able to get something done while still getting that message. I could sit in my jacuzzi tub and be in the front row of Converge Church at the same time. Right? No, that probably wouldn't be safe. I see you guys sleep here. I can just see you slipping under the waters, never to rise. Don't do that. Do not try that at home. You wouldn't even have to tune in on our schedule since our services are available on demand, right? I'm just being really practical with you. You could tune in whenever you want, when it suits. You could do it on your commute. In other words, you could find just about any crack in your life, your schedule, and fit it in there and never have to worry about coming out to Converge Church on a Sunday morning. It made sense once. I think it made sense to attend church for Laura and her little church on the prairie. It did make sense then. It was entertainment, socializing, news, and commerce all in one. That's a lot of bang for your tithe. But life isn't like that anymore. Life isn't like Little House on the Prairie. You can get delivery how and when you want it. But let's take it a step further. How about the content itself? 30% of sermons are interesting. That's what the feedback I get. But interesting in sort of a random way, if you will track with me just a little bit farther. Interesting in sort of a random way. Is there some people wonder, is there some, especially you teachers out there, I think, because you're trained in this. You know there's supposed to be a scope and sequence, right? It's supposed to add up to something. There's a reason they give you a piece of paper at the end. It signifies completion. How about church? You never get the degree. You never get the certificate. No one ever says, guess what? This is Kent's last day with us. He completed the program. The rest of you will have to come back next week, but Kent's done. We never ever have that graduation ceremony, do we? There's no scope and sequence. There's no point at which we can say, I got it. And so we might be thinking, what are we shooting for? I don't have to go anymore, and I'm not sure now that I think about it why I do. If I want to know something specific about the Christian walk, I can Google that, and I can have the exact scratch for my exact itch any time I want it. Wow, I'm building a better case than I thought here all of a sudden. I maybe shouldn't have worked too hard on this portion of my sermon. Why do church? You know what? I don't want us to be afraid of the question. I really don't. I don't want us to be afraid of the question because I do believe that it can lead us to a healthier place. It can lead us to a healthier place in our spiritual walk. Maybe the age of church attendance has passed. Maybe it should never have been there at all. Maybe we're better off if the age of church attendance has passed. Now, I'm not advocating for closing the doors. In fact, just the opposite. I'm advocating for a recommitment to the founding values of the church that Jesus Christ started. I'm talking about a recommitment to what Jesus Christ intended from the very beginning. Enhancing attendance with engagement, number one. And secondly, as I hinted at last week, adding intentional Christian growth to incidental following of Jesus Christ. All right? I'll restate those, and you'll probably hear them a few times this morning. Number one, attendance isn't good enough because we're talking about enhancing attendance with engagement. Secondly, adding intentional Christian growth to what we experience incidentally as Christians. All right, Ephesians. There's kind of your warm-up. There's the little draw you in. Let's look at how Scripture answers this dilemma for us. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 16, the bigger context that we'll be looking at, answers the question, how will church unity within diversity be preserved? That's the bigger question in Ephesians chapter 4 that the Apostle Paul is trying to answer for the Ephesian church. And the answer that he comes to is that this unity will be preserved as it is a byproduct of Christian maturity. He doesn't say very specifically, well, we're going to maintain unity this way. We're going to wear school uniforms. We're going to do anything like that. No. He says, as you become mature, it will naturally follow that you will be unified. All right? So he says this. He says, gifted leaders equip saints to minister for the building up of the body. You know, Christ has gifted the church with these leadership gifts, and he lists those. And then he says, when that's functioning, the leaders equip the body ministers to one another, then the body becomes mature. That is, it becomes what it was intended to be. And we don't have time to break all of that down, but it's important because he's going somewhere with that. And it's important that we don't miss it. It indicates that there is a standard-based outcome goal. See, I want you to experience the ministry, all of the gifts, because this is supposed to add up to something. It's supposed to get somewhere. There's an end. There's a purpose. There's a meaning to all of this activity. It's not just busy work. And then he says, the result of that process is a unified Christian community. So we're going to drop in right at verse 13, right after the part about gifted leaders equip people for the work of the ministry, all right? Ephesians 4:13, as Tyler read for us, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until we all attain, there it is, right? Now he's getting more specific. It's not implied anymore. It's right out there in the open. We're going somewhere. There's a target. There's something that's supposed to happen as a result of all of this activity. Until we attain indicates goal and objective of doing church. There is a reason for this, after all. That's encouraging. And the text describes the goal from three different angles. You might think, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of looked at this in the past when I have studied this passage, and I thought three different goals. Now I'm looking at it more like three different ways to describe the same goal. And you can see it in this text up here, until we all attain to. And then you can follow that down. Oh, and there's another two. And then in the next to the last line at the very end, there it is again, two. So there's three things until we all attain to, one, two, three. But as I said, I don't think he's talking about three different goals. I think he's approaching it from three different angles. I'll try to explain. Number one, I think there's a learning target. The first one is a learning target. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. That is, till we all ascribe to the same doctrine. Until we hold the same things to be true. We grow to this place where we understand that the faith is what has been provided to us through God's revelation, and we all come together. So we're all growing, and we're all coming from a little different places. You know, we don't all have the same theology here. If you're a member at this church, then you said yes, and you signed off on a doctrinal statement, but theology is a very complex thing. It's nuanced. And that's all right. So we're all growing. We're all coming up, but we're getting closer and closer and closer to the truth that God has revealed. All right? So we hold foundational things to be true, the confessions, and then we move upward, and our theology becomes deeper and more nuanced, and we're growing into the unity of the faith. The second learning target, to the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. The first one is cognitive knowledge of the doctrines of the church revealed in Scripture. The second one is friendship with Jesus. It's different. It's not just cognitive. It's relational and personal. So in these two ways, we're all growing together, and we're getting closer and closer to what was intended. You see that? All right, we got to move along. I'm sorry. Learning target is the first two. To the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Secondly, is not just a learning target, but a human analogy that invites contrast, I think. It says, to mature manhood. To mature manhood. And yes, some of the newer translations say to mature personhood. It shouldn't be that way. And I'm all for making it personhood if it refers to personhood. But there's a reason that he says this. It's the masculine word. And it's not a slight on the women, but he's going to come back and he's going to say later, not like children. And so he says here singular to a mature manhood, because he wants to call to mind the image of Jesus Christ as the head and the church his body, singular. Okay? So I think he's being really deliberate. So we all grow up to be a body that suits the head. You following me? And what he's doing here is not giving a different goal for the church. He's finding a way to state it so that he can come back later and says, not like a bunch of little children running around. So he's setting up this analogy. All right? So a learning target, a human analogy, and then the third one is inspiration to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater inspiration than to look at the person of Jesus and saying, we can grow together into that, into the fullness of the measure of Jesus Christ. Teachers are familiar with swabat. Did I say that right? Swabat statements. Teachers, did I say that? I don't know how you pronounce it. It's letters. It's not really a word. SWBAT, learning outcome statements. It stands for, help me out, people, the student will be able to. Right? The student, and you've read these before, the student will be able to. It indicates that there's learning objectives. There's a point. There's a purpose to all of this that's going on. And yes, they can be silly at times. These are actual swabat statements. All right, you'll enjoy some of these. Susie will be able to cross the street safely in 8 out of 10 opportunities. Excuse me? 8 out of 10? Wow. Sam will learn how to mix dangerous chemicals while remembering safety goggles 4 out of 6 times. Oh, be careful what you're teaching. Bobby will improve functional communication by demonstrating the ability to regulate another person's behavior. I don't know what they expect Bobby to do, but he's going to regulate the other kid's behavior with his communication. They're intended, as I said, these statements are intended to make sure that teaching and learning in the classroom are purposeful, right? They're going somewhere. They're going to accomplish the goal that was intended. Listen, this Ephesians 4:13 is the clearest thing that we have, or the closest thing that we have, to God's church outcome statement. This is it. This is it. The student, the church will be able to be. It's the closest thing that we have in one concise statement for what God intended to happen. You see, the church is not simply a repeating element on the calendar or busy work with no end in sight. Doing church is intentional, whole church progress toward a well-defined goal. There it is. Reason number one, why do we attend church? Doing church is intentional, whole church progress toward a well-defined goal. In this, the most clear statement of God on the subject, maturity is not my maturity or your maturity or her maturity. In the clearest statement, it's our corporate maturity. In the clearest statement, it's all of us together, not one or another of us becoming more mature. You know, we grow tired of a child's why questions, right? If you've been a parent of little kids, you know, why, and it just goes on forever. You know what? We stop asking the questions when we're adults, but we're more demanding than ever that there is one. Otherwise, we just don't participate. I've got plenty of things that seem purposeful in my life. If you're trying to get me to do something that has no purpose, I'm not really interested. I might do it for you and with you for a time as a favor, but eventually that grows old. We want our why questions answered. Why church? I think we need to add intentional to incidental in our Christian growth. Intentional to incidental. Growing in the faith, growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A content goal, the faith passed down by the apostles. A relational goal, growing in our connection with Jesus Christ. And we're to do that together. Together. So let's enhance attendance with engagement when we talk about doing church. We can see in this important text that church is not a monologue that can be streamed. The complete experience. Now, we're streaming. Why are we doing that? Because people can't always be here. That may be the best option available. But for the full experience of church, it's more than just a message that comes digitally into our homes. Church is much more than just that message, much more than just that worship song. The whole church maturity project is a group effort. It's a group effort. You don't just need me coming into your home. Wow, that's a scary thought. You don't just need me speaking into your life. You need each one here making a contribution in a way that becomes well-balanced. I've got just a tiny little 30-second video that pictures this better than I can explain it. Climbing over a wall. Go ahead. So right after the service, we're going to go do that outside. Yeah, six young people scaling a wall that none of them could climb on their own. But working together, they get everybody over the wall, the objective. I think that explains the group effort of a church better than I could say it in words. It's fine, you know, you might be one of the ones that is the first over the wall. But it's not because you climbed it on your own. It's because you got to stand on somebody else's backs and you're pushed up there. And what's your responsibility? Not, run off. You reach back over the wall and you help the next person. And you work together. And that, I believe, is the image that Paul writes for us of what it means to work together, that maturity is a group effort. First, the Apostle Paul describes what we're trying to avoid so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine. I've got to skip half this, and that's all right. Spiritual individualism will leave you twisted. It's all there is to it. Lone Ranger spirituality, you can make some strides, you can learn some things, but you will be twisted. You will be a deformed version of what Christ intended. I'm absolutely convinced of that. We need each other to develop into Christ-likeness. Instead, growth in community approaches the ideal of what Paul is describing. It's there in verse 15. He says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." That's a long sentence. Did you hear Tyler trying to read that at the beginning of the church? It's almost, you can't breathe anywhere. He just goes on and on and on. But let me help you. He's saying that there's no Lone Ranger stuff. He says, if you follow the subject and the predicate of the phrase, he says, the whole body makes the body grow. All the other are supporting phrases. The point is, what? Yeah, the whole body makes the body grow is the essence of this long sentence. He gives first honor, but passing honor to Jesus Christ. He says that's the source, but then he stresses the contribution that you make and you make and you make. And when it's all working, that is how the body grows. You see, worship services and classes will never cut it. Here we are truthful in courtesy to one another. Here we grow held together by what a few key leaders supply, right? Here we benefit from the proper working of several individual parts. But where we build each other up in love into the full maturity of Jesus Christ is going to be a more radical connection, where each of us is reflecting the goodness and the greatness of Jesus in our own unique and marvelous way. And from that, we get a better picture of Jesus than we ever could have gotten on our own. It's a whole church process. You see, that's why I believe attending church makes no sense. And you know by now that I mean mere attendance. What I mean is just getting what a few are supplying. It doesn't make any sense. Let's encourage one another to take attendance up a notch and add engagement. And let's add intentional Christian growth to incidental improvement in this new year. For this purpose, Converge is launching this initiative, the Now What's Your Story initiative in our church. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm anxious to see what the Lord will do with it. It's to help us implement these exact values. It's finding another way that you might be able to go from attendance to engagement, and you might go from incidental to intentional if you take advantage of it. We're trying to design it in such a way that it's not adding another night, it's not adding another program that you need to get involved with, but meaningfully is offered to you in a way that you can continue to absorb in the routines you're familiar with. The need. Ooh, that's kind of hard to read with the light. Basic discipleship for everyone. Theological literacy. I'll just talk about those two things. That's growing up into the faith. That's saying not just we heard 50 some odd random sermons. It means we understand what the core competencies of the faith are, and I can say, yes, I will attend church faithfully, long as the Lord gives me strength, but I did. Now, don't hold me to this. I did get a certificate. I know what the core is, and I'm familiar with it. I could even tell you what it is. I know what the core of a Christian, I know what the cardinal doctrines are, and I'm comfortable with those. So there's this need that we all grow together and we have these touch points. Secondly, we'll develop these core competencies not only in what we understand, and here's the three. Remember, I couldn't think of the three last week? I wrote them down this week. Beliefs, virtues, and the last one that I couldn't think of is practices. So we're going to come up with some, I'm going to say 30-odd, okay? About 30 different things, 10 beliefs, 10 virtues, and 10 practices of the Christian life that are the core competencies, core Christian fitness. So you can say, yeah, I regularly touch base with the essence of what Christianity is. And through Pastor Brian's sermon, Pastor Mike's sermons, I add things all the time. Discussion I have in my community group, I'm adding stuff all the time, but regularly, ongoing, I touch base with the core. So I don't get lost. and we are all growing together. The concept, just very quickly, we're listing out these core competencies. They'll be synced to the rhythm of the church, as I mentioned. We'll get into the delivery method in here in just a bit. Story-based. I think we all learn better when we can see it applied to life. And since our theme together, we do things in terms of conversation. We value conversation. We always talk about changing a monologue into a dialogue in your community groups. And so these will be couched in conversations around these truths. I'm going to write it out that way. Here's a fictional conversation that's going to hook you and get you into this topic. Then there will be questions to help you identify your personal interaction with that core competency. You can look at yourself and go, well, where am I in relation to that competency? Where have I come from? What have been the significant milestones along the way? What is it that I would like to tell someone else about my story when it comes to God's Word? We'll provide those kind of questions. So lastly, let's throw up the delivery there. Here's the way it's going to work. I'll be writing out these parables, these conversations that relate to an individual core competency. This is going to come out with the email. You'll get a link. We already have a blog feature in our website. So you'll get, every week when you get the Thursday email, you'll get that core competency and a teaser and a link to go that will take you to the website. You can follow that. Then when you go to that blog, you can read that. And if you choose to, you can also respond, right? You can reply, respond on that blog, and you can say, wow, that's interesting. Here's the way I came to that conclusion. Here's where I'm still struggling. Say the competency is prayer. You could get on there and say, you know what? I, to be honest with you, church, I'm not sure I've ever had a prayer answered. It's a place to be honest, or to say, I had a breakthrough in prayer at this moment. You can put those things in response to that blog entry. And then finally, the last thing that you might do is find a way to use this in order to write out your own personal testimony, or find a way to bring up the conversation with somebody else in the church. Did you read the conversation this last week? What did you think of that? I was really puzzled by that. I didn't get it. Did you get it? Or, wow, that hit me kind of hard. I realized if that's a core competency of the Christian life, I'm like at a one on that. I haven't even thought about that much. Whatever. It's to create a conversation within our church that gets us all growing up into the fullness of Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, and in the faith. Moving together. So what we have at Converge Church is a continual discipleship conversation about the things that matter most. If you choose to write that into some sort of a journal, eventually you'll have the 30 core competencies of the Christian faith journaled. It'd be a great thing to pass on, great thing to hand off to your kid. Here's where I learned my lessons related to the things that are the essence of Christianity. So we're kind of excited about that. We're putting it in the Lord's hands, and hoping that He'll use it in a way that will encourage us all to make engagement a priority, so that we can learn from one another, and to also make our following of Jesus Christ more intentional. Now, there was a story element, and I want to talk to you about that next week, how important your story is. I think it's vital. Can I tease you? Man, we're late, but I got to tease you. Witness. Oh, evangelism. Here we go. I'm scared to death. What is witness in the Bible? Telling somebody what you've seen. Too often, we're worried that we can't tell somebody about something that we haven't seen. If you interact with these 30 core competencies in a way that's truly integrating, you're going to know what your story is, and that's what's profound. Your story. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's God's story. Now what's yours? You'll be able to share. All right. Let me just pray quick, and then Pastor Brian is going to lead us in observance of the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, so there is a point to all of this. So there is a goal. So there is a target. I pray that Converge Church would be the kind of place where anyone who walks in off the street would be able to know, sense, feel that there's purpose, there's intention in this place. They're following Jesus Christ deliberately. They're not just showing up because it's the 10 o'clock hour on a Sunday and they've never gotten out of that rut. They're here for a reason. And I pray that we will do that with such joy and delight that when people come in, they'll be swept into that same following, that same love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.